The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
I would like to take this opportunity to look at the summary of the Islamic values that the Prophet of Islam presented in his last khutbah. And it's important that he selected these items in the last khutbah. You know, from the Sunni point of view, it was uttered in Mina. From our point of view, it was presented by the Prophet in Ghadir, irrespective of, you know, the location. But the main point is that the Prophet in that khutbah did not only just talk about the succession process, which is the central theme and the purpose of that sermon, but he began by summarizing the teachings of Islam. And for us to look at that as a way of, you know, seeing the ideal that the Prophet talked about and preached, and the practice of the Muslims during the current time. And that's where, you know, this is a moment of reflection to see whether we are close or far from it, and what we have to do, at least, you know, within our own ability, you know, how importance do we give to these issues. As a preamble to that khutbah, he says, you know, my time is coming to the end. Very soon the messenger of Allah, referring to Malakul Maut, will come to me and I will say labbaik to him. And then he says, you know, I would like to do this itmam al-hujjah, you know, the concluding, you know, argument that I have fulfilled my duty as far as conveying the message to you is concerned. And the very first thing he talks about is the sanctity of a Muslim's life and honor. You know, normally we say, okay, what is the most important thing in Islam? We'll say namaz. It is indeed important. But look at the way the Prophet talks about it, because he's assuming that as far as rituals are concerned, you already know about it. He's highlighting the issues that we have to think about it more. And so he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَعَرَاضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ إِلَّا أَن تُلْقَ رَبُّكُمْ. He says, oh people, you know, when it comes to your life and your honor towards one another, it is a sacrosanct. It is a hurmat. You cannot violate until the day you come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Means from in your entire life, you had to honor the life and honor, you know, the honor and hurmat of one another. كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا أَلَا هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ اللَّهُمَّ اشْهُدْ. Basically, then he, after all these statements, he says, do you testify that I have conveyed the message? And people will respond by saying, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Yes, you have done it. And so look at the Muslim world at the moment. We are not even talking about how, you know, you deal with non-Muslims. Most of the problems we have these days, Muslims killing Muslims. And the irony is that the one who is killing other Muslims does that by saying Allahu Akbar. And the victims who are dying are saying their last shahada, La ilaha illallah. So the killer is saying Allahu Akbar, and the victim is saying La ilaha illallah. And that is the irony of the situation that we see now. Then he goes on to the second issue, the issue of amanat and trustworthiness. You know, when he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ عِنْدَهُ أَمَانَةً فَلَيُوَدِّيهَا إِلَى مَنْ اِعْتَمَنَهُ عَلَيْهَا. He says, whoever has a trust with him, you know, he should make sure that he fulfills that trust and conveys the, you know, to the people who are deserving or the owner. And this is where we see that, you know, one of the most important things in the life of the Prophet was that even before talking about Islam, he was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, the truthful person and the trustworthy person. And this is the same important quality that we see in the character of Ali. You know, in the event of Hijrah, the Prophet asked Ali to take his place in the bed so that the enemies who were surrounded the house would not dictate him that, you know, oh, the bed is empty. It is not only for the protection of the life of Rasulullah. This was done in order to also protect the honor of Rasulullah as an Amin. One of the duties that the Prophet had given to Ali was not only that you will, by sleeping there in my bed, you will be protecting my life, you will also be protecting my honor, because I have some amanat in my house, things entrusted to me, and I would like you to convey those to their rightful owners. And so when we talk about, you know, Shab-e Hijrat, the fazilat of Ali is not only in protecting the life of Rasulullah, it's also in the honor, protecting the honor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, he says, إِنَّ رِبَى الْجَاهِلِيَّ مَوْضُوعٌ. And then he gives an example that whatever interest and usury that you people had asked from one another when you gave loan, you know, this is all now abolished. And he specifies his own uncle, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib. So he says, I'm beginning with him. So whatever your loan that you had given, as far as the riba is concerned, the interest there, the usury, this is all abolished. Unfortunately, we are, you know, in the Western part of the world, things are slightly different. But even in the Muslim world, instead of all these attempts, we still have not been able to come to an ideal, you know, solution to this problem as far as the Islamic finance and banking system is concerned. Then he goes on to something which was more a tribal issue among the Arabs at that time. He talks about the tribal strife. In the dama al jahiliya mawdu'un, where, you know, if somebody kills someone else from another tribe, you know, these revenge killing would continue from generation after generation for a long, long time. And this is where the Prophet basically talks about it, to end this tribal strife, which was common among the Arabs at that time. Number five, he basically talks about the vigilance that we must have towards the shaitan. It says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ قَدْ يَأْسَ أَنْ يُعْبَدَ بِأَرْضِكُمْ هَذِهِ. He says the shaitan has lost hope that there will be no idol worshipping in these holy lands anymore. However, لَكِنَّهُ رَضِيَ قَدْ رَضِيَ بِأَنْ يُطَى فِيمَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. He says, but he's still happy with other things that you will be following him. Especially the Prophet says, فِيمَا تَحْقِرُونَ مِنْ عَمَالِكُمْ. Small, you know, issues in your life where you will be following the commandments of shaitan. And this is where we have to realize, you know, sometimes we are told that, you know, Mawlana, just, you know, let it be on a minimum level. We don't have to go, you know, to full extent of values of Islam that you're talking about. You know, as long as we do the minimum, alhamdulillah, that's fine. But we have to realize that shaitan finds his way to our hearts and our mind through the minor violations that we do. And this is the warning that the Prophet has given to us.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صل عليه